Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence. And now, here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Hello, listeners. This is Divya and welcome again for our Monday event of full value-packed episode. So today I want to invite John Formica. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much. It is an honor to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. So let's talk about John. So John is called the ex-Disney guy, and he's a highly sought-after international known speaker, business consultant, and author of the top-selling book, Making the Customer Experience Magical: How to Succeed in Business and Beat Out Your Competition Today. Recently featured in the Virgin Atlantic in-flight magazine while completely speaking his tours in Australia. And he's also been named as Australia's best customer experience coach by the Melbourne Herald Star. Appeared on NBC Morning Show, Fox, Univision, numerous business journals and radio. John has inspired audiences with over 3,000 keynotes and seminars throughout the US and all across the globe. Prior to speaking, John acquired 25 plus years of experience in top management positions with service industry leaders including Walt Disney World Resort, Hyatt and Hilton Hotels, and Sunrise Senior Living. During his 10 years at the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida, John was selected to manage the top luxury resort properties during Disney's resort division expansion from 4 to 16 hotels, and led his teams to achieve the highest guest satisfaction ratings among all Disney World Resort hotels. So today, John is known as America's Customer Experience Coach. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much. Well, that sounds like a handful. I can't believe I'm that old.
You can say You are very well accomplished. I would not say you're that old, but it's a good.
I guess I'm seasoned like wine, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I like to call myself too, because when we read our bios, then you sit back thinking, that sounds positively ancient.
That's great.
So let's start out with your childhood, John.
Wow. A long, long time ago. I actually grew up in the New York area all my life. And but when I graduated from high school, I wanted to see how the rest of the world lived, and was the only person in my family to reach out and try to do something else. And I was very fortunate to get a soccer scholarship to play soccer at West Virginia University, which was really ironic because here is a city slicker going to the mountains of West Virginia. Heck, I didn't even know where it was. But it was a great experience. I loved it. I always tell people to this day, the people of West Virginia captured my heart. And I majored in recreation and parks and forestry management. My goal as a child was to be a park ranger. But unfortunately, when I graduated, about 860,000 people would have to die before I got a job. So that's a lot of people. So I was fortunate to be a front desk clerk at a Holiday Inn hotel in Morgantown, West Virginia. And my boss asked me if I wanted to be a desk manager at the hotel. And I had no really desire to be in the hospitality hotel industry, but it was a job and I took it. And lo and behold, who knew 25 years later, I would go from a front desk clerk at a Holiday Inn to be a general manager of North Carolina's largest convention hotel, and the opportunity to manage Disney Hotels Resorts in Orlando, Florida. So it was pretty cool experience.
Absolutely. And we do have something in common over here, North Carolina. And when you talk about West Virginia, I've traveled from North Carolina to New York several times by car. And I've taken the scenic route. It's sometimes taken the long route. And I have to say West Virginia is extremely beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do the same thing, only to avoid some of the big cities when you go on the eastern way. But whenever I drive into I do a lot of work in the West Virginia area. And when I drive up through their interstate system, really captures my heart. And I always tell my wife, that's where I want to reside when it's all over with. But she wants to be a little bit closer to civilization, I think.
Yeah, probably you could have a cabin up there, and then that way you could balance out for both of what you want.
Absolutely. I think you have my dreams there, Divya.
So you have shared that, you know, you wanted to be a park ranger. Did that desire spark within you when you were a child, or what was it that prompted you to go after it?
You know, I used to dream about working in the national parks. I always loved the outdoors, loved hiking, and I was always intrigued about the beauty of the National Park Service. And back then, and this was in the late 60s, early 70s, and, you know, I was an athlete. I was a jock, I guess, that you could say. And I didn't want to go the route of being a phys ed teacher. So I wanted to do something else in sports or in recreation activities. And I really visited a national park in the Adirondacks in New York, spoke to the park ranger there, and I was hooked. I said, this is what I want to do. And at the time when I went to West Virginia University being recruited, and it was the only school that recruited me, by the way, I didn't have a lot of choices. But it was also the top five recreation and parks and forestry management school in the country. And so I said, wow, what a great opportunity. If I screw up playing soccer, at least I'll get a great education. And because of that, because of the prestigiousness of the university, I was actually able to get an internship with the National Park Service. There were literally 3,000 applicants applied for 11 jobs. And I got one of the 11. And I thought I'd be it. You know, once they know who I am, they're going to love me. And the rest is going to be history. But like I said, unfortunately, there were no openings. U.S. government was going through a transitional period. We were, budgets were slashed. But I will tell you, one day I'm going to do that. I'm going to volunteer. I don't care what I have to do. I want to put on that forest green uniform, that wide brim hat, and I want to hang out with Smokey.
Oh, and I'm sure that you'll make it happen, John.
Absolutely.
So how did you overcome that? So, you know, when you applied and you found out that there were so many people ahead of you, as you mentioned earlier, and thousands of people, how did you manage that disappointment?
Well, it was a shock. Back in the 70s, DV, we didn't have the internet. That shows you how far back I am. But so if you wanted a job, you literally mailed your resume out with a cover letter. And that's what I did. I was persistent. I took every single penny that I made with odd jobs and whatever it was, and I spent it on stamps and envelopes. And I mailed my resume to every single national park and even many state parks once a month. I figured I was going to be persistent, either I was going to be a pain in the neck. One of the two, they were going to realize that I really, really wanted to work there. And I did it for numerous months. Five months went by, didn't hear a word, didn't hear anything, didn't even get letters back that said thank you for your resume. And then all of a sudden I got a letter that was addressed to me from the National Park Service in Washington, D.C. And I thought my dad come. I was so fired up. I was excited. I actually called my parents and said, I think this is it. And my dad's like, wow, where are you going to go, to Yosemite or the Grand Canyon? And my mom's thinking, oh, I hope you can stay close to New York and visit us. And I opened up this letter and the first paragraph said, we appreciate your diligence. And that's when I knew I got them. But the second paragraph said 860,000 people would have to die. And I'm telling
my.
You, the bubble just burst, because I'm thinking 860,000 people, boy, that's a lot of people. And so, yeah, I was disappointed. I didn't necessarily think I was going to give up. I just figured I'd have to figure out another way. And that's when my boss asked me if I wanted to be the desk manager. He said he'll teach me leadership skills. I could learn all kinds of different things and aspects of the service industry in a different perspective. And of course, if I ever had an opportunity to work at a national park or a park, he was going to support me. But he knew he needed me, and he liked me. He liked my work ethic. I knew the hotel inside and out. I was a team player. So I figured, what do I got to lose? And it wasn't long when I became hooked on the hospitality industry, particularly in the hotel industry. And lo and behold, that's where I began my career.
That's lovely to hear that even though you did not get to do your first passion, you developed a second passion. So that's a really a good learning thing that, you know, in case if you are not able to live your dream, that does not mean you don't have another dream.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's really unique about the whole picture, I'm a big believer of things happen for a reason. Whatever it might be, it happens for a reason. And I had some great opportunity. Hyatt Hotels. Spent most of my hotel career at Hyatt Hotels. It was a great learning ground. I had great mentors, which taught me skills that I'm using today. But what's interesting, that all the hard work and 25 years of managing hotels, and then all of a sudden, Disney comes calling. And, you know, when you're in the recreation field and parks field, what better organization from a private sector? Maybe it's not a national park, but it's certainly a national treasure. And having the opportunity to work there, I guess I got part of that dream to come true.
Oh yeah, Disney is the dream world, as they call it. And what we already have a few questions over here. One of the questions is, what department did you work for at Disney?
I was in the resort division, and when I got recruited to work for Disney, they had four hotels and a campground, and they had 16 brand new hotels on the drawing board. And so for when I worked for Hyatt, I was opening up new hotels about every 2 years. And I kind of got known as the person who loves to open up hotels and develop staff and train and create experiences. And so Disney wanted me to open up new hotels, develop the staff, train the staff, and create a Disney resort experience that would separate Disney hotels from any other hotel in Orlando or in the world for that matter. So it was mostly the resort division, and I got to open up the Grand Floridian Beach Resort. I managed the Contemporary. I managed Fort Wilderness. I managed the Disney Inn. I opened up the Yacht and Beach Hotel. So I was mostly managing the hotels in the rooms division of the Walt Disney World organization.
Another question has come is that, you know, what years did you work for Disney?
I worked for Disney in the 80s and 90s. So I was there from 86 to 97. It was basically the booming era of Disney. Like I said, four hotels and a campground to all of a sudden 16 hotels. When I got there, we only had two major theme parks. And then we had four. We had water parks. We bought ABC, ESPN. We had great. Every movie was an incredible success, like The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Tarzan. We sold, you know, they all won Academy Awards. We sold tons of CDs and DVDs for the movies. The songs were great hits. Merchandise. It was absolutely the era of We Could Do No Wrong. And I was certainly very fortunate to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So there is a customer experience, right? A customer goes to Disney without knowing what goes on behind the scenes. And here you are, where you were part of creating customer experience. So from your experience, did you find the Disney experience to be what people think it is?
Well, I will tell you this. After the, pixie dust wore off, and I realized where I was, and I really had a job to do, I think Disney provides all the support and tools, but in some cases, I was a little bit surprised. When I was there, Divya, the hotels were 100% full 365 days a year, and that was unheard of. I came from a hotel background that you're lucky if you had 70% occupancy for the year. And so, and plus they were freestanding hotels with Hyatt and Hilton. So you had to fight for every single guest, you had to make sure that everything was great because you couldn't afford to lose anybody, but you also needed to constantly try to get new customers. Yet at Disney, you just open up the doors and they're there because they were the only four Disney hotels and everybody wanted to be a part of them. They all wanted to be on the monorail. And so I think in many regards, not all, but in some regards, the Disney experience was sort of taken for granted because back then, the parks were the big focus, and the hotels were just a great place to stay. Yes, you got a good experience, but really, the reason why people came were for the parks. Well, when I got there, Michael Eisner was the CEO, and he was trying to fulfill Walt Disney's dream. And Walt Disney wanted to create the happiest place on earth and fill it with happy people, mostly with hotel rooms. And so we were then assigned to really focus on creating a Disney resort experience that would sit on its laurels by itself, that whether you went to the parks or not, you could still have an incredible experience at Disney by staying at the resort properties. And along with the fact that Orlando was just booming with all kinds of hotels. So Disney had to be, for the first time in a long time, had to be competitive. And so that Disney experience was so valuably important. And my team and I, we just rolled up our sleeves and tried to figure out what we can do to separate Disney hotels. And we did it not by providing service, but by providing an experience, something that they could remember, they would talk about, they would refer friends, they would be excited about. And that's the whole model that I base it on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely makes sense because even now, when Disney is not the main focus, if we look at the data trends of market, people want to go for experience. People will pay for things that give them great experience. So whether it's dining, whether it is going for adventure vacations. So when we are talking about creating an experience where people come and they remember their stay, regardless of whether going to Disney or not, what was it that brought you and your team together and come up with this kind of experience? What was the magic sauce behind that?
Yeah. Everybody wants to know the magic sauce. And when I speak and I tell everybody it was pixie dust, they don't believe me. So I guess I have to go give a little bit more detail. But there's two things, Divya, and this is what your audience could really understand and utilize this for their businesses, their organizations, their teams, everything else. Walt said you have to create the dream first. And what he meant by that is if you can dream it, you can do it. And the dream that we had in the resort division, as well as anybody that worked at Disney, your purpose was to make people happy. Now, most companies have mission statements. They're great. There's nothing wrong with a mission statement. But a mission statement's going to tell you what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, where you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, and who you're going to do it to. And all those are great for an organization to help create a goal. What is it that you're trying to focus on? But for the people that have to carry out that mission, they're not really concerned about the mission statement. They're concerned about the purpose statement. And the purpose statement is the why. Why do it? And Walt created this incredible purpose statement called Make People Happy. And what that means, Divya, it means that no matter what job you get hired for at Disney, whether you're a housekeeper, a bus driver, a manager, you're in accounting, you're in food and beverage, you're a security, you're a custodial, it doesn't make a difference. The sole purpose why you are hired is to make people happy. And although you have a job, everybody has a job, everybody has a job description of what they need to do, your purpose is more important than your job, unless it's a safety, a security, of course, a health risk issue. And so we always focused on that purpose, and Disney focuses on it from the hiring process to the training process, to the orientation, to constant recognition, constant awareness, constant talk about, so that everybody realizes when you come to work every day, when you work at Disney, what are you going to do today to make someone happy? And that's the first piece. The second piece is that Disney sells fantasy and imagination. We all know that. But every business, every organization, whether you're a nonprofit, whether you're a small business, whether you're a big size business, you also have to sell imagination. And what that means is that your customers, your clients, they're imagining what it's like if I do business with you. And that imagination piece has to be real. That imagination piece has to tug on the heartstrings of your clients and customers, or even staff for that matter. And when you can fulfill that imagination, that's when your business, your organization comes to life. An example is if you ever look at a brochure or the website on Disney, if they want you to stay at a Disney resort hotel, they're going to show you a picture of a little girl dressed as a princess, mom on the bed with her, looking out the window, seeing the Magic Kingdom castle. Now, doesn't that plant the imagination seed? Who doesn't want to be there? We all want to be there, right? But here's the interesting thing that you just said. When you look out that window, you're going to see the Magic Kingdom castle. Well, guess what? Not every guest room at Disney World overlooks the Magic Kingdom castle, but you're going to have that room. It just costs more money. But people are willing to pay for a room that overlooks that Magic Kingdom castle because they've already started that imagination piece in their marketing, in their brochures. And so that's what every business has to sell. I'll use an example. I have dentists as many of my clients. When I ask a dentist, which, by the way, they're usually great at dentistry, but they're not very strong in running a business. So I try to help them understand that they sell fantasy as well. But when you ask a dentist, what do you sell? They tell me dental hygiene. Well, of course, we need dental hygiene. But the fantasy that we have is that we want to go to a dentist coming out with a big white smile. That's what we imagine. So every business has to touch upon that imagination piece. And that's where you'll get that experience to begin. Does that kind of make sense?
Oh, it does. Beautiful. And thank you for summarizing it so short and beautifully. Two main things: have a why and give people the imagination.
Absolutely. It's not that hard, or I guess maybe it is. It's not easy, but it's not hard to think about. Those are the two main things. And Walt said it best. Walt said, you need to understand the mindset of your customers or clients, patients, whatever they might be, and that you don't give them what they need, you give them what they want. And what do people want when they go to Disney World? They want to be part of the happiest place on earth. So that's what everybody's job is, to make them happy.
Absolutely. So several questions have poured in. One of the questions is, are you still with Disney?
No. I spent over 11 years working for the Disney organization, and then was heavily recruited to be the general manager of North Carolina's largest convention hotel. And it was not an easy choice to leave Disney, but we kind of weighed our options both with our family and everything else. And for me, it was a great opportunity to see if the Disney success model can work outside of the Disney organization. And the hotel that I was asked to manage was a very challenging property. It was low occupancy, terrible service. It was nicknamed the Sock Hotel. People always ask me, well, what's a sock hotel? Well, a sock hotel is where when you stay in the guest rooms, you don't take your socks off. That's how bad this hotel was. And I thought, can I build a team? I knew I did it at Disney, but could I do this elsewhere? And it took me 2 years to incorporate the Disney success model. It was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of time away from my family, a lot of just hard thought and discussion and reflection. But after 2 years, we won the Pinnacle Award for the top convention hotel in the state, top five in the Southeast. And that's when I realized it can work. And wow, what a great accomplishment that the team and myself put together. But, you know, I give the team the credit. I don't say I was a great general manager. I just say I finally got myself a great team who believed in that purpose. And
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Purpose was not necessarily to make people happy, but it was to have a passion to serve. And if you didn't want to have a passion to serve, you were going to be weeded out in my hotel for sure.
Mm-hmm. That
so
is
now,
phenomenal.
Now I have an opportunity to go around the world speaking, doing workshops, coaching, doing training for all kinds of organizations, teaching them Disney's success model so that they can build a Disney-like culture and empire in their own business as well. And that's pretty much what I do today.
Yes, that's fantastic. So there are tons of questions that we have received. So somebody is asking, is the Sock Hotel that you manage, is that the Gaylord properties?
No. This was, at one time, it was the Adams Mark Hotel chain. And they're no longer in existence. The hotel that I managed is sold and bought by other hotel company. But yeah, it was just, it just went through some challenging times. I'm not going to say the leadership was bad. It was just that they were the biggest, and so they could get away with things. And but really, reality was they weren't very good at the time.
Hmm. No, that makes sense. And the question is, do you miss Disney?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I still have lots of friends and contacts there. What I miss most about Disney is the team effort that we did each and every day to make sure to carry out that experience. That's the part that I miss. And Disney always had these major events and celebrating Mickey's birthday or opening up a new park or celebrating something, or maybe even hosting presidents of the United States and Princess Diana and the excitement and just putting it all together and then watching great results, and or even just watching a family that, you know, saved every penny that they had to bring their kids to Disney, and just sitting down with them and having them cry, sharing with you their experience and how magical it was, and it's a lifetime experience and they'll never forget it. That's when I realized, gosh, I missed that. And I get the satisfaction of watching my clients get that same kind of response out of their clients and customers.
Mm-hmm. Another question is, if you were given a chance, would you go back to Disney?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would. I love what I do now. And I don't know if I could do that in a Disney capacity, because I just love having the opportunity to touch so many more thousands and thousands of people with my speaking and training and coaching. And every day is a new day, and every client is a new client, and every place I speak at or do training at is a new adventure. So I really love that. But, you know, I guess you can never say never. So who knows?
Absolutely. And that's the thing about service industry. Even though you left service industry, you still have ties. And as you say never, and you don't know what tomorrow holds for you.
Absolutely.
One of the other questions is, kind of going back to our conversation when we were talking about Disney, is people want to know, when you're in Disney, is there fantasy in everything? And they also want to ask you, like, you know, can we extend that fantasy in real life as well?
Yeah, well, we all know that Disney, the whole thing is make-believe and where dreams come true. But, you know, there's many cases. There's absolutely a serious side to Disney. Safety, security, those things are absolutely out front, more important than anything. And so although they try to give you a great experience and all that is great with the characters and the fantasy and the rides, you know, Disney needs to make sure that everything's safe, and they don't take that lightly. If you think about it, in the world we live today, with all the unfortunate things and the crazy people out there, you know, places like Disney World and Disneyland are targets. They know that, and I think that's what keeps them up at night, making sure that we can do everything today to make sure everybody was safe. And you know, for the most part, knock on wood, they've been very successful. They do a lot of things that nobody even knows they do to make sure it's secure and safe. So for those of us like us that go, you know, they do a great job and behind the scenes things we never know. But it's a business. There's no doubt it's a business. They have shareholders. They have you know, stocks and dividends and all that stuff like any other large corporation. I just think they have an incredible model, an incredible structure that's been around for years and years and years that Walt started. You know, it's kind of funny, Divya. When I was at Disney, it was during the boom era, and people came up to me and used to tell me, gosh, it's a shame Walt Disney never got to see this. because Walt Disney died in 1966 and Walt Disney World opened up in 1971. And, you know, we were just booming and building all these things. And it was just an incredible, incredible time. And people said, it's a shame Walt never saw this. And I used to tell people, Walt saw all of this way before we did. We're just carrying out his dreams. And we get the honor of doing that. And but it, like I said, it was a great experience. But it's still a business. And you still have employees. Your audience may not know this, but there are 75,000 employees that work at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida alone.
And wow.
With 75,000 people, you know, not everybody's perfect. Disney's not perfect. You know, they have the same issues as any other company of its size. So it's no different than any other organization, but Disney just has a way of making sure that they don't tolerate it. They hold it, hold people accountable. There's a lot of structure in place. There's a lot of things that everybody needed to do, whether it's grooming guidelines, appearance guidelines, no cell phones on property while you're on stage. I mean, these are things that Disney puts in place to maintain the show and maintain that fantasy.
So now we have talked about maintaining that show for customers. Let's take a look at employees. Do the employees have a burnout?
Have a what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Do they ever burn out?
Yes, yes, yes. And one of the things that Disney makes sure is that there's lots of opportunities to shadow, transfer, all kinds of things. You know, a company that size, there's lots and lots of different opportunity, and they certainly promote from within, whether it's transferring and job postings and everything else, because, again, you do think of the volume of people that you have to deal with on a daily basis. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hotels are full every day. So they're checking in and checking out. And, you know, there's 1,000 people in the lobby of your hotel every day. And the expectations are extremely high that you can't meet them. You have to exceed them. But again, there's a lot of fun. There's a lot of recreation. I always tell people, my 11 years at Disney was probably the most difficult job I ever had in my career. It was by far the most difficult because of all the things I just shared with you. However, it was also the most fun I ever had in my entire career because Disney is always trying to do whatever they can to take good care of their people. You know, Walt said, if you take good care of people, they'll take care of your customers. And so there's a lot of activities, a lot of recognition programs. There's a whole park that's outside of Disney World dedicated to recreation. So there are pools, tennis courts. We have softball leagues. We have flag football leagues. We have basketball leagues. We have picnics. You can do all kinds of things. Plus, a Disney cast member can get into the park for free. So you can bring your family and enjoy the parks. And those are great benefits. But also, again, Disney's goal is to try to create an environment where you want to do it, not feel like you have to do it. And if you want to do it and you're going to do it, you got to be part of the big family.
Mm-hmm. Great principles to make customers happy as well as make employees happy.
Absolutely.
There are quite a bit of parts of Disney. So one of the questions that has come up is Fort Wilderness is like a national park. Was that one of your favorite ones?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting. They promoted me to be the manager of Fort Wilderness, and at the time I was at the Grand Floridian. So here is a 5-star hotel where we're hosting presidents and Princess Diana and movie stars and Michael Jackson and all these people, and then they moved me to Fort Wilderness. I thought I did something wrong. I was like, what I do? They sent me to the woods. But I will tell you this. It is the number one campground in the world, and it is for a reason. It is the most family-friendly place on Disney. And people, you know, love it. They go there. Oh, there's such a loyal following of repeat customers. They have, like, cabins you can rent. And then you can just ride your bicycle in the streets and you feel like you're in another world. And it's safe and it's, again, you still have access and transportation to all the parks and you can do anything you want, but you can come back and just feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. You're on Bay Lake, so you're not even facing any of the magic any out there. And you just think you're in the middle of nowhere and everything's themed to be that rustic-ness. And the thing I really, really loved about it is the campers just do whatever they can to help you. There was one time where my comfort station, where the restrooms were, had a pipe leak in the middle of the night. And when I got to work the next day, there was a note on my door explaining to me that the comfort station pipes burst, but no problem. We fixed it and we cleaned it all up. And this was coming from the campers.
Oh, that is amazing.
And I'm thinking, what? You cleaned it up. So I went and saw them and they said, yeah, you know, they just, you know, why should you worry about it? We could fix it and, you know, we're handy. And I mean, the place was spotless and they did a great job. And it's that pride and ownership that people have from that campground, which is really, really unique.
Oh, what a lovely story. And we have a couple of comments coming over here that was one of their favorite places to stay.
Absolutely.
It's very fun over there and they have Trading Post. It feels so good to stay there.
So you ride around on a golf cart and or bicycle or what have you. It's pretty amazing. They give you all the comforts of home as far as hookups, you know. You got cable TV, you got electricity, you got water, you're all set.
Well, especially in today's day and age, if you don't have Wi-Fi, you know, kids are not going there.
That's right. Even in the wilderness.
Even in the wilderness, you've got to have Wi-Fi at least for some extent.
That's right.
So this is a great story. And also, you know, we have, another comment coming in. They have buses and boats as well. Thank you, listeners, for being so engaged.
Yes.
And John, so, you know, you have talked about such great stories. What would you say was your biggest learning that you took away from Disney that has lasted you from the time you left until now?
Gosh, I'd probably say there's a lot of them. And attention to detail was absolutely a must, particularly when you are on stage. And so things that you might take for granted or assume is okay in the Disney world, it's unacceptable. And I came from a 5-star environment in the hotel industry. So I kind of had that already influence on me, but the attention to detail was absolutely great. And then the other thing I think was the power of empowerment, in that you have to teach people to be empowered. And we used to say at Disney, we hire professionals. No matter what level you're at, you're a professional. And so all we ask you to do is to act and be professional. And so if you're a professional, why do we have policies or procedures in place that only managers can do? Why can't you do that? You're a professional. You know it's in the best interest of the guest. So why can't you do that? And Disney empowered the staff that, I mean, if there was any decision that had to be made based on whether it affected the employee experience or the customer experience, the employees just stepped right in and were empowered to brainstorm ideas and always look at better ways of doing things. And, you know, the momentum of that, yeah, I'm sure there were people that just didn't necessarily want to be that much involved, but majority of people just said, give it to us, we'll take it and run with it. And I think that's the piece that I try to help my clients achieve, because particularly in the small business arena, you know, small business owners are so busy doing everything that they need to make sure they empower their people to do it. And most of the time when I coach small businesses, they say they don't have anybody, or they can't trust them, or they're not as good as what they could do it. And all those things are true, but that's what you need to do. You need to develop people. And Disney always wanted to develop people so that they could do it. Because reality is there's 75,000 people at Disney. As managers, we didn't walk around with big sticks beating people over the head. We created an environment where they wanted to do it, not felt like they had to do it.
Mm-hmm. And when people do it from their heart, there is no other power like that, because so many times organizations and businesses forget that it's people that people buy from. It's not the product or it's not the service that attracts. It's the purpose and it's the people that they connect with and purchase from.
Oh.
So talking about that, would you say that all the jobs at Disney were the same?
Well, they all had the same mission involved, purpose involved, and that was to make people happy. So even if you were not in a position or had a position where you didn't deal with guests or customers, your responsibility was to make others happy. In other words, your fellow coworkers and cast members. In that, because they're the ones that are going to then make people happy. So it constantly flowed that way. But I just want to add a little bit to what you said. Your statement, Deirdre, was so right on. Absolutely phenomenal statement. Walt said that you can design and create and build the most wonderful place in the world, but it takes people to make the dream a reality. And he knew it, that Disney World or Disneyland at the time would be nothing more but a bunch of brick and mortar, but it's the people that makes the difference. And you're absolutely right. We all like to do business with people we like, and we never remember a product or service. We always remember the person who served us or helped us or went out of their way. Or those are the things that create the stories. And so people were so valuably important to Walt that, he wanted to create Disney University, and we had constantly opportunities to train. And he used to have a saying, there's a saying that he copied, and it was for leaders. And it was, once you stop learning, you stop leading. And Walt changed it a little bit and said, once you stop learning, you stop earning. And it was all a matter of, he wanted to give everybody the opportunity to learn so that they can grow within the Disney organization. Now, if you were happy to be where you were, great. There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely, that's great. But he wanted to give people the opportunity to grow. And no matter whether you're in the parks, whether you're in the resorts, whether you're in wherever you are, you certainly have that opportunity.
Love that. And my respect for Walt, of course, has increased tremendously, because I believe in the power of dreams. And you don't have a dream just because you will live to see it. You have dreams so that you can have the next generations reap the fruits of your labor. Because think about it, regardless of any number of scientists we look at, any number of visionaries we look at, today all the technology and all the wonderful things that we have that we take for granted is somebody's fruit of the labor, because they were passionate about the dreams and they followed it through.
Absolutely. Wow, that's powerful. That's exactly, that was what Walt did. Walt could see things, and he just had a, whether it was movies, whether it was animation, whether it was building of Disneyland first, and he saw it, and he just wanted better. He wanted it to be better than anybody could imagine. And luckily he had his brother Roy by his side, who just kept him out of jail from being broke all the time, because those dreams were really expensive. but his brother Roy, was the manager and the operator of all of making sure that Walt's dreams came to life. But Walt was certainly a big dreamer, but you're right. It starts with a dream. And, one of the things that I'll share this with everybody, Walt always wanted to create a legacy for those to continue to enjoy it forever and ever. And it certainly told in his movies. You and I might have seen Pinocchio and Mary Poppins and Snow White, and today kids are still seeing that same movie. And yes, it's changed a little bit. It's gotten a little bit more technically better, of course, but it's still the same movie for the most part. And Walt wanted to make sure that there was a legacy that children and adults and parents can, great-grandparents can, people can share. And today, people think Disney is all about money and trying to have control. And, you know, they bought Pixar and they bought Marvel and now and they bought Star Wars. And people thinking that, wow, Disney's just going to take over because they just want to make all the money. And I'm not going to disregard that. They're not, you know, they're a business. Absolutely. But here's why Disney is doing this. Their main reason, besides the money, of course, is that by owning Marvel, by owning Star Wars, they have control over the legacy of two great brands, two great things of that people love. And what Walt didn't want, what Disney doesn't want to do, is what following in Walt's footsteps, is they didn't want somebody else to purchase these, you know, Marvel or Star Wars, make a bunch of money, run it in the ground, and then we never see it again. He wants to build it for a lifetime. And that's why, you know, the Disney movies, with the help, of course, with George Lucas, you know, Star Wars is phenomenal. Now we're building, Disney's building a Disney park, and there's going to be a Star Wars hotel. And again, you're just going to constantly live out this fantasy, whether you are 1 year old or 100 years old. This is a legacy that's going to last our lifetime, our generation. And that's what Walt's messaging. He wanted this stuff to last forever and have control over it. And that's what Disney's trying to do today.
No, thank you for sharing that, because what you have shared is creating that timeless connection. It's about making people happy. And no matter what, our aspirations, our dreams, our feelings, our desire to be loved and to love others, desire to help, connect, all these are going to remain the same. So what Walt did was, and what you have created a legacy as well, is this timeless connection, which will go over generations. What a beautiful legacy to leave. Thank you so much, John. You know, it's been such a pleasure and a privilege to have you on the show. If people want to reach out to you and connect with you, what's the best way to find you, your website, your contact address?
Absolutely. They can go to my website, which is www.john, that's J-O-H-N, Formica, F-O-R-M-I-C-A.com. And they can go on there. They can also go to freegiftfromjohn.com, and that's just free gift by john.com. And you can get three training videos to download that are free, of just sharing some of the things that I talked about for any business, any organization. And with that, you'll then become what we call a Magic Minute member. You get a newsletter, an e-newsletter goes out every week with a tip helping you make your business, organization, team more like Disney. It's all free. It's just my way of giving back. You can go to my website, go to the blog page, and you'll see hundreds of articles and Magic Minutes, previous Magic Minutes that might, you know, pick and choose whichever one that you might like. I speak, I coach, I train all kinds of organizations. You can get my contact information right there as well. I'll do anything I can to help, because my goal is to serve people around the world, helping them create those experiences so that they can be successful just like Disney.
Thank you, John. So appreciate you. And thank you, listeners, for a wonderful question. And thank you, Belle. And until next time, be brilliant and step into your power. Thank you again, John.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Parekh shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyapark.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyapark.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.